The Torah starts by defining Paraduma as a chukah, correct? And Rashi picks up on this at the beginning of Parashas Chukas. He says, Lefisha Satan v'umos ha'olam. I didn't know what the word Satan means here in this context. I mean, literally a Satan. But I think we'll see another Rashi in Chumash that'll indicate clearly what the word Satan means. Monin es Yisrael. How would you translate the word monin? That's a rare kind of word in Lashon Kodesh. To taunt. Lomar, and they say to us, this is what our adversaries say, Ma ha-mitzvah zos. What is this mitzvah? It seems so strange. It's a ceremonial mitzvah that doesn't seem to make any logical sense. Uma tam yeshba. Is there any underlying reason for it? Leficha kasa b'chuka. Therefore the Torah went ahead and said chuka. Chuka means it's an absolute rule. Gzeirahi milafanai v'yem lecha reshus laharach re'a. This is a divine decree, and you have no justification or no permissibility to think, hey, what? This mitzvah doesn't make sense. Really, what the Satan and the Umos HaOlam are trying to do is they're trying to convince you that this is not a divine given mitzvah. And maybe, in a sense, they're trying to undermine the entire Torah by saying, if this you claim is a divine given book, a book of statutes, look at this rule over here. We find this also in Rashi, in Parshas in Sefer Breishis, where Hashem says, in praise of Avraham Avinu, "Asher shama bekoli vayishmar mishmarti mitzvatai chukotai toratai." So Rashi says he goes through each one of these categories: what's mishmarti, what's mitzvotai, what's chukotai, what's toratai. When he gets to chukotai, he says, "Dvarim sheyetzer hara," in place of the word satan. V'umas ha'olam, I'm fighting with myself here, with my inner Yetzahara that's pushing me and taunting me and saying, what sense do these mitzvahs have? Kigon achilat chazir, levishat shatnez, she'ein tam bedavar, el gzeiras ha'melech v'chukosov al avodov. Accept these as the decrees of the king. So basically, my friends, we can divide up the mitzvahs of the Torah, and this comes from the early Rishonim, by the way, and even the Gaonim did this, into two categories. There are mitzvot sichliot, there are logical mitzvos, and I understand them, I intuitively sense them, they're right, they're moral, they're natural, they perhaps are universally accepted by all peoples. And then we have certain ritual laws, prohibitions or positive commands that, at the surface of it, at least, make no sense. Why would anyone command me not to do this and not to do that, not to wear wool and linen together in one garment? Those mitzvot are not sichlios, meaning logically they don't appeal to the rational mind. But the Torah says you got to accept that too. It's not easy to be a Jew. You've got to suspend your rational qualities and accept these mitzvot.
Is it that we don't? Is it that there's no reason, or we just don't understand?
Right. That's going to be the issue that we have to study here tonight, Josh. And first, I want to point out to you: if you take a look on page 3 of your Maror Mekomos, notice in the third paragraph, "Ve'ela hamishpatim," and Rashi wants to know what the word "ve'ela." Why the extra vav of "ve'ela"? And Rashi says, "Ve'ela mosif al rishonim." This word, this letter, excuse me, Vav, is coming to link together the Mishpatim, the statutes that have been given, with what came before them. Ma Rishonim b'Sinai, af Elu b'Sinai. Meaning, the Torah went out of its way to tell you that what we're going to learn now, what we're going to be taught now in the Mishpatim, in the statutes, is also from Sinai. That's what the Vav, has within it. That's what it contains. The Vav contains a message for us that which you're about to get in Parshas Mishpatim, all those ordinances that deal with society and how to set up and organize society, they were given at Sinai. So if you look at the next source on your page, the Chidushei Harim, this is one of the Gera Rebbe's, he says, what's bothering us? Why does the Torah feel compelled to add the Vav? He says, Shalon achshov, shamishpatim ha'elu, that these statutes we are about to be given in Parashas Mishpatim, kevet shemuvanim heim, al pi seichel ha'adam, since they're logical, and they're understandable, ein makorim, they don't come from the same source, kishar mitzvos ha'Torah. Elohim tziro sam b'nei adam. Maybe they were humanly created. L'cheno sifa Torah vav, lomar kimosha rishonim, hayu achukim ha'eno muvanim al pi seichel, nitnu bar Sinai, kmo chen, elu ha'mishpatim nitnu bar Sinai. So the Chidush HaRim is saying that there's a danger here, that a person might think that the mishpatim do not have a divine source to them. They rather come from the human, intuitive, moral sense. And that's why the Torah addressed this problem by adding the Vav to emphasize that the Mishpatim, like the Chukim, originate from a divine source. And in essence, perhaps we could add to the Chidush HaRim that one's attitude towards Mishpatim should be identical to one's attitude towards Chukim. Ein lecha reshus laharach reim, it's a gzeres hamelech, it's a divine decree. I don't want you to follow the Mishpatim because you think they're logical. I don't want you to use your intuitive moral sense as your compass to decide, oh, let's do this mitzvah, let's observe this law, and so forth and so on. And not only that, if you start applying your logic, it's quite dangerous. And here you have the famous Gemara in Brachos. I hope this Gemara is familiar to you. It's about Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The Pasuk says in the Novi in Yeshayahu, Bayomim Ahem Chola Chizkiyahu Lamus. Chizkiyahu was on his deathbed. Vayavoi Lav Yeshayahu Ben Amot Sadavi Vayomim Lav Koamar Hashem. Tzav Libeitecha. Prepare your will. Your last will and testament. Ki meitata velo tichye. So the Gemara asks, "My, what does it mean? Ki meitata velo tichye? What's a double language? You will die and you won't live. Meitata b'olam hazeh velo tichye l'olam haba." Now, gentlemen, you may remember that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was one of the greatest kings that we had, the most righteous king. In fact, there's a whole kina on Tisha B'Av to lament his loss, his death. Amale. So Chizkiyahu, in all naivete, b'tmimut nafsho, turns to the Navi, and he says, "My kuli hai, well, what do I deserve such a thing? You're cutting me off not only from this world, the next world. Amalei mishum d'lo asakta b'piriyah v'rivyah. You did not get married and have children. Amalei." So Chizkiyahu HaMelech got very somber, very serious, and he said the following, "Mishum d'chazoi li beruach hakodesh, I saw with the divine spirit, the nafka minoi bonin delomala, that my descendants will not be upright Jews. They will go off the beaten path." Amar Lei, this is one of the most famous agaditas in Shas. This is Yeshayahu's retort to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Bahadi kavshi derachmona lomalecha. Rashi says, "Kavshi derachmona starim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know the secrets of God. You looked into the future and you found that your offspring, your children, or your grandchildren, great grandchildren, will go off the path. That's none of your business. That belongs to the divine being. Those are the starim. My de mifkat iboil cholamevad. That which you are commanded, that's what you have to do." That's what you have to fulfill. And what God sees in the future and how He will evolve and through divine providence the events will turn out, that's none of your business. You have to do what you have to do. And we know, my friends, that it's very dangerous when we start applying logic and giving rational reasons for the mitzvot, and then we try to act out those rational reasons and apply them as a litmus test to the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Because once you try start using your human logic, who knows what conclusions you might derive. Mercy killing maybe in the case of murder, or abortion in the case of a fetus, an unborn fetus. You know, man, you know, which when he thinks he can apply his human reasoning to the law of the Torah, he may come with all sorts of distortions.
But Hashem wants us to learn and study the rationale for at least the mitzvah. Even if,
but again, there's a danger. Just keep in mind, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to rationalize the mitzvahs. And the Rishonim, as we'll see, Rav Sajigo and Rabbeinu Bechai and the Rambam, they all tried to rationalize
the chukim, maybe not the chukim.
But even chukim they tried. Right. Even Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, he gave a whole explanation for what he thought was based for shatnez, you know, and Rav Shimshofal Hirsch came up with the explanation for the dietary laws. So we're going to see that the Rambam has his explanation for shofar. Rav Sajigon has the explanation for shofar. They were nomadic tribes, and that's how they called people in the alarm system. They blew the ram's horn, you know. And you have the Rambam's view about dietary laws and health. You know, and you could have all sorts of rationalizations, but
that would be different from Paraduma is the classic example where, you know, rationalization fails. Other than the rationalization, that there should be some commandments that don't have rationalization, right? Or I think,
but again, I'm not sure, Eliezer, that we should leave Paraduma out of the pale of mitzvos that need some sort of explanation.
But I was going the other.
You know what I mean?
I was saying that. If we did all the commandments purely by blind faith, it has like I view the religion as a combination of faith and rationality.
Right.
You can't have too much of one and not enough of the other. If it was just faith, then people would be doing things by rote. If it was just rationality, then you could start rationalizing why you didn't have to keep the mitzvah.
I just want to say two things, Elias. Point number one is that there's nothing terrible with fulfilling a mitzvah because you were commanded by God. Period. Understand it or not. You know, Avraham Avinu certainly didn't understand what it meant when he got the command to bring Yitzhak on the, you know, as the Akedah. So there's nothing wrong with suspending your rational ability in order to obey God's will. That's point number one. Point number two is, I think the Rishonim already encourage, and they got actively involved in this endeavor to try to explain the mitzvahs and rationalize them. But what I'd like to cover tonight, depending upon what we can achieve in the next 15 minutes, is to set up the bounds over here, the guidelines. How? What kind of reasoning? What kind of explanation should we be looking for? Is it anything that, you know, is there no, you know, more successful and less successful way of coming up with rationale for mitzvot? And at the same time, if we do come with rationale or an explanation for mitzvot, does that have any halachic import? Keep in mind, I can rationalize kibud av v'em and come to conclusions. I can rationalize period of arivia and come, well, God, the world was created to serve God, so let's have more children and keep up the generations. But maybe if they're not going to serve God, so I could come to all sorts of very tenuous conclusions that might be antithetical to halacha based on the reasoning that I give. So I do go back to my first point that ultimately even the mishpatim, even that which is logical, that's given in Parashas Mishpatim, that if your ox gores my cow, you have to pay damages, or kibud av v'em, which we saw by Dama ben Asina, who was not Jewish, even that ultimately should be observed because God commanded. That should be our motivation. And any explanation we give should have a certain impact, and that's what I want to know. What's the goal of giving the explanation? So what kind of impact are we shooting for? Are we hoping for? I mean, just to prove my point, you know, to drive it home a little bit, there's a famous Mishnah in Brachos. You'll see it towards the bottom of page 3. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer al-kan tzipor yagir rachamecha. And many Rishonim understood, including the Rambam, that the reason why the Torah says you have to send away the mother bird before you take the fledgling birds, the baby birds, is because of rachamim, because out of a natural sense of mercy and compassion that we have to have for the mother bird. Even in this case, the Mishnah says, Mishaskin also, that if someone makes that statement, we should make sure that to shut him up. So on that Mishnah, the Rambam has a comment in which the Ramban quotes it here on page 3 in the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan in Parshas Ki Teitzeh. And basically what the Rambam says is that Mishnah expresses only one view in the Tanoim. And that view says that we cannot explain even rational mitzvahs, we can't give explanations for. We think that Kan Tzipor of mitzvah Shiluch HaKan is based based on compassion. Even that we're not allowed to say, according to that opinion. But the Rambam says there is another opinion. And that other opinion says that we have to look for reasoning. And we have to look for explanations.
Good, because my bar mitzvah drasha had an explanation of Kan Tzipor.
Really?
Yeah, I did not know that there is the
Do you remember what explanation you gave?
Just general compassion.
Compassion. Okay, so that's a gigantic controversy whether or not you can accept that and still accept the Mishnah. The Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilah, this is on page 1. Ro'i li adam lizbonein b'mishpatei Torah kedosha v'leida sof in yonim kfi kocho. It's appropriate for a person to study and delve into the laws of the Torah, of the Holy Torah, and to try to understand them as deeply as he possibly can, depending upon his ability. But to expend himself and do the best he can. If he finds things in the Torah that he cannot rationalize, and he doesn't know what the cause for that mitzvah is, he shouldn't take a flippant attitude towards such a mitzvah and say, you know what, this mitzvah doesn't make any sense. Have you ever heard people say that? Younger people for sure say it a lot, children or teenagers. This doesn't make any sense. Like they throw it by the wayside. And the Rambam quotes a pasuk of Lo Yaros Lalos Hashem Pen Yifrod Bo. You know, don't try to rebel against God. V'lo Teimach Shavto Bo, when he thinks about the mitzvah of Hashem, Kimach Shavto B'Shar Divrei Chol. Just like he thinks about all the secular things, and if he doesn't like them, he throws them out. Don't think about the mitzvahs in that way. We have to respect and honor the mitzvahs even though we don't understand them. But historically, as I told you before, the Rishonim, and it's even in the early Rishonim, even the Gaonim, Rav Sajja Gaon, gave explanations for mitzvahs. And the Rambam gave explanations for mitzvahs. So there is such a thing as Tamei HaMitzvahs. But the Rambam admonishes us and warns us that if we don't come up with an explanation for a mitzvah, it doesn't mean, that doesn't give us a right to be mezalzel in the mitzvah. This is something that's divine, and we don't have a choice, we don't have an ability or a license to question the mitzvah. But at the same time, we can try to give explanations. So I think we should look for a method of finding an explanation for mitzvahs. I think we'll pick this up next time, because right now we're going to stop.